This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Can we start it like, are you recording?
Yeah, I'm recording. Okay.
Can we start it like just casual? Like, this wine tastes really good.
Super casual.
Let's talk.
Hello, everybody. We are back for another Best of Bread and Wine for this holiday week. I hope everybody's having a great time enjoying some calm relaxation with some family and maybe got a little turkey hangover. That'd be great. Hopefully you were able to find one in the grocery store. Anyway, following up from our conversation last week, we are going over some movements, man. We're going over some movements that were impactful in Nicole and I's lives, really just my lives. And then I like kind of bothered her with them and then brought her along. And subsequently, she was very kind and followed along. And anyway, we go over these movements. Last week, we went over the fire movement. This week, we're going to be talking about Dave Ramsey baby steps. And having just attended a conference the week before, super appropriate timing for Nicole and I to review our positives and negatives of going through the Dave Ramsey baby steps. So we are quite candid in this conversation. So take a listen, especially if you've gone through the steps. Maybe you have experienced some of these positives and negatives as well. So this is our most downloaded episode of 2021. That's why we're calling it a best of. So most downloaded episode of 2021, and we hope you all enjoy it. I'd love to hear your feedback, by the way. So let us know. Have a great one. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Bread and Wine. This is a candid chat between a husband and a wife, and we're going to have a little wine in the process. Cheers to you, darling.
Cheers.
My name is Andy Hill, and this is
Nicole Hill,
and we are here for some more fun. You guys have been showing up every week. Thank you so much for being here, and we're excited for another episode. So without further delay.
All right. This episode could get us into a little bit of trouble.
I'm going to do this guy.
So, all right. In the most respectful way, we're going to talk about a topic that, yeah, it could have a little controversy. It's our journey and kind of our ups and downs with Dave Ramsey and the Baby Step program.
Yeah. All right, I'm down.
And yeah, and just I think Dave Ramsey in general and, you know, the whole shtick that goes along with his, with the advice that he sells.
Yeah.
So our journey in a nutshell started off like a love story, right? Yeah. I mean, you found Dave Ramsey's podcast.
Oh, that love story.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about us for a second.
No.
My love story with that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mostly, and I like how you say your love story with him because I wasn't brought on that journey until like a little bit later. Yeah, there's been a little bit of, for me, love and hate. For you, it was like true love at first sight. And then lately, so most recently, because you taught the Dave Ramsey program. Mm-hmm. Financial Peace University at our local church. Mm-hmm. And you did that for 3 years.
Yep.
And now recently you decided, I think I'm done teaching that program.
Yeah.
So clearly the honeymoon period is over.
It's a good one.
So I kind of just want to talk about our journey and our thoughts about Dave Ramsey's program and the baby steps and then just, you know, his philosophies in general.
Sounds good.
Okay. So you found his podcast first.
Yeah. So you got an iPad for a work gift in 2010.
iPad 1.
Like it was like new.
Dinosaur.
It was like a work bonus. And you guys were like, you all get iPads.
That's right.
Cool. And so it just sat in our kitchen and we didn't really know what to do with an iPad. It was like, what do you do with this thing? So
we listened to music on it.
It was pretty much just like a music player. And we looked up recipes sometimes.
Yeah.
And then I found, so I just, I went in the app store, I think, and I typed in money because I wanted more of it and I didn't have a lot of it.
I have some, in a jar on top of the fridge. I want more.
Like something about like get money or make money or something like that. And he was the first app that came up in there, and he had an app, and it was essentially just like short clips of his radio show. And I just started listening to it. I'd come home from work and eat my lunch, and I'd listen to whatever 5-minute clip, 10-minute clip. And I'm like, this guy is funny. And he's saying some things that make sense. And
yeah.
And I got hooked. I bought the book. I read the whole book. I got really into it. And then, as you know, and we talked about on this show many times, that when I read things or listen to things, they are the Bible.
Yeah.
And I go buy them.
You made me purchase my car. After my lease term was over,
yep,
you made me cut up my credit cards.
Oh, yeah, that was a tough one.
But I saw the value in it, and I saw our net worth growing, and I got like sort of geeked about it, you know, not as much as you.
Yeah, I got really geeked. Like, not possible. Like the word geek.
Yeah, the definition. In Webster's Dictionary, a picture of geek. You looking at a picture of Dave Ramsey.
Being a geek.
So you got super into it, and then I think it helped us out a ton.
Yeah.
I mean, it did.
Absolutely.
It's not I think. It did. And then we kind of started getting to a point when we had, I think, paid off our mortgage. No, it was prior to paying off our mortgage. Yeah. We got to a point where we were like, okay, this is repetitive. What's next?
Yeah.
What made you feel that way? Like, what were the things that you started to get?
Well,
I don't know.
There was a few ticks on the box as we went through. You know, one of them was the credit card thing, right? And I read it in the book, and I'm like, credit cards are evil, and they're gonna kill us all. And I took that to heart because, again, when I read things, it's the Bible, right? So I said, cool, we gotta stop this credit card thing. It's evidently gonna kill us. Mm-hmm. So you didn't like it, but mm-hmm. you were very nice, and you said, fine. 5 years went by, and lo and behold, we really didn't change our spending at all. And I'm like, maybe we should go back.
Because we were tracking it in Mint.
We were tracking it in Mint.
And we were like, well, we spent just as much prior to having credit cards. But like we did, even though we used debit cards for a lot of stuff, we also used cash because we did do the envelope system a little bit for certain things.
Yep.
But then we couldn't remember what the heck we spent. We're like, wait, I had $100. And, you know, unless you're sitting there jotting down like every $2 purchase and like taking a lot of time to like reconcile all of that daily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's been so many advances since that point when I read the book.
Like water.
To like now of like tech, like mm-hmm. credit cards have gotten more convenient. Like tracking your money's gotten more convenient. Like protection on credit cards has gotten more convenient. And I hate to say it, but man, those points are delicious.
Yeah.
And we fell in, and I found out some other dudes that I was like, oh, wow, I really want to try this out.
And you like swung the pendulum all the way to the other end.
Started credit card hacking.
Hey, we're going to credit card hack. We're going to open up 45 credit cards in 3 months.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember how many was. It was at least over 20, probably between the two of us. But anyway, it was a complete pendulum swing. And obviously you can get carried away with that too. So the first tick for me was like, okay, well, maybe credit cards aren't all that bad. And then the second major tick was when we went to go meet with an endorsed local provider. And I just wrote an article about this, that I went in there fully with the mindset of, if Dave says this is the guy, then this is the guy. I got to believe everything he says. And that was my folly. And you, your wife alarm was going off, being like, this guy sounds like a sales guy. And it doesn't really, he's kind of talking over our heads as opposed to teaching us. And aren't we supposed to be getting the heart of the teacher sort of thing, right? And you didn't feel that right away. I felt like, hey, he's got the check mark. This is our guy. And then we had some things happen over the next couple of, I think about a year and a half we were with him. And the one major thing was that I got, and I think it was 2012, I had the best sales year I've ever had in my entire life. We came away with a $100,000 check, essentially, from some sales that happened that year. And we came up to our person and said, we want to buy a house in the next couple of years. What should we do with this money? And his idea was to put it in a bond fund. Bonds, yes, there are more.
James Bond?
Not James Bond. I'm sorry. Bond market. They are less volatile than stocks, but they're still volatile, right? And I didn't know that there was something called a front load fee. Mm-hmm. So essentially when we gave him a $100,000 check, automatically he got, I think it was close to 5% of that. So yeah. Our balance was now $95,000.
No wonder when we were like, yeah, we're ready to, you know, we have a check for $100,000. And he was like, I'll come after work and pick it up from you.
He came to
and
the
we
door.
Were like, oh, how sweet. And now we're like, oh, duh. Yeah, it's because it literally meant $5,000 for him.
Yeah. So, and again, that's not anything that I would say Dave did wrong or even the individual did wrong. It was my lack of knowledge and my blind faith in the whole process. So I've since learned a ton more.
Yeah. Like the silver lining is it made you look into how you can manage your own, you know, investing, and you've learned so much. And I feel like you do the best job that money can't buy, you know, cause you're in, it's your money and you're going to
totally.
Do
what you're going to do the best for your situation.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the silver lining, is that you educated yourself more based on that really bad experience.
Yes.
And I think, of course, it's not Dave Ramsey's fault that this guy, you know, kind of did some moves that weren't in our best interest. As a matter of fact, all of the things that Dave Ramsey says an investor should be, I agree with. They should have the heart of a teacher. They should want you to get into things that that benefit you, that are not volatile. They should. What's the other thing he says? He says, try to go with somebody who does not a commission, but a front load fee, because that's supposed to be less.
He doesn't talk about. Unfortunately, there's not enough information, I believe, from that whole situation that we went through about the fees. Oh. I think that was my major error going in, being like, well, he's going to help us. And I just didn't ask the important question of how do you get paid?
Yeah.
And that was my major fault going into the whole process. But I think that education could be a lot better, both from the Ramsey team as well as our advisor, broker that we work
with. I mean, I don't know how these advisors get, you know, get this Dave Ramsey certification, but the feeling that I get reminds me of when I bought ice cream. Super weird tangent, but it's going to come together, I promise. When we were in Florida a couple of years ago, and I got some Ben and Jerry's ice cream that was Chunky Monkey or something, supposed to have like a ton of chunks in it. And I remember Ben and Jerry's like from back in the day, and it was always good quality. So I got this Chunky Monkey and I opened it up, and it was like two chunks, like literally two chunks. That's not like, I mean, I don't call that a Chunky Monkey party. Like that is like stingy with vanilla ice cream.
I agree.
And we like emailed the company and everything, but I think that is a, you know, I'll bet when Ben and Jerry's was a mom and pop shop, they made sure that every single batch of ice cream had a, you know, 500 chunks of monkey.
Of all the monkeys.
And, you know, but then they sold their rights to this company, and they have all these factories and all these, you know, so they can't still be really putting their like personal mwah on every single batch.
Yep.
And that's what I got. I got the watered down version of Ben and Jerry's that's been sold to this company and that company. And it's some manufacturer that has nothing to do with Ben and Jerry's putting its name on it, you know?
I think that's a great example.
So I have a feeling that that's kind of what has happened. I mean, back in the day, if you were to get a recommendation from Dave Ramsey himself before he was like real big, I'm sure it would have been like, I know this person personally and I put my stamp of approval on it. But nowadays I think it's the watered down version. Sure. And that's what we got. We got a guy who
merger the company the
got
farther gets away certified. From the
purpose. Yeah, exactly. And and he did not follow the path of Dave Ramsey. I think he just somehow got a certification, and that made us want to work with him, but we got burnt. So yeah, that was definitely a reason. So reason number one that kind of pulled us away from the Ramsey ways was just our personal experience with like credit cards and, and not in our negative experience using cash. And then the second would be the getting burnt by the advisor.
Yeah. And I'd say the third is kind of some tone as of late. There was a clip recently about the stimulus checks that people need right now. And I won't quote it correctly, but essentially Dave was dismissing that if anybody needs a stimulus check right now, then I can't remember the exact
I'm sure
words.
He used
I'm going to mess it up, but it was very dismissive.
Typical Dave Ramsey, like, you're a fool. You're dumb. You know, like,
it was very dismissive as if you needed $600 that you got a lot more problems. But the problem with that statement is that it's inherent in his baby steps. And the first baby step is a big milestone. If you're able to save $1,000, you've now rid yourself of those emergencies that keep you in credit card debt. So I would venture to say it's the exact opposite of his mission to tell people that $600 won't make a difference or $1,400 won't make a difference as we're potentially getting
stimulus checks right now. How can $1,000 make a big difference, but $1,000 doesn't make a big difference?
Yeah,
I get it.
And it's this sort of tone of, if you do it this way, then you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And if you, I don't know. It just seems like it's a one size fits all thing. And it feels like it's missing the mark lately for me.
Now, he's so entertaining.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is why I think in the beginning you said you found his podcast and it was like funny and it was this and that. And yeah. I mean, he had the same tone and the same language back then.
He does. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I've just educated myself into more of the reality after doing this for almost 5 years now. I realize everybody's situation is so unique because I've spoken to so many people either, you know, experts on the podcast or people who have done some really cool things, and everybody's situation is so different. Yeah. Like, for example, like, I've spoken to couples that, you know, decide to keep their money separate, and that makes their marriage really happy. And I don't think that makes them idiots or dumb or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's just okay. Everybody's situation is unique. You and I choose to keep our money together, but that's a unique choice of ours. And I think there's missing a little bit of empathy.
Yeah. And a little bit of like, one way may not work for everyone.
Yeah.
But I get it. I get that he, like, that's his program is so successful because he's got these steps that don't waver.
Yep. I agree.
And he's got very black and white. And if you follow it, you can get out of debt. And I get it. I mean, it is effective.
It reminds me a lot of religion.
Right.
Books that have been written thousands of years ago and not wavering from those. Obviously, that can go pretty deep. But I think that we learn a lot over time and we can evolve a lot over time.
Yeah.
And having some flexibility and ability to change over time.
Yeah.
Has some power to it.
I completely agree. I think when you're able to say, this is what I used to think, this is the journey that I went on, and I've evolved and changed, and my mind has expanded. Mm-hmm. And I think there is power in that. And I think that there's, I respect that.
Now I feel kind of bad now because I've just spent a little bit of time talking about three things that didn't work well.
Yeah.
If you and I could talk about three things that did work really well for us with this program, I think I would probably feel better finishing off this episode.
Okay. So one of the biggest things is, I think it is so simple. I think it is so, maybe not the black and white part about it, but the simplicity and the fact that there is one end goal, and that's to pay things off so that you have more control over your time, more control over your life, and can make more decisions and not be slave to the lender. I think that's awesome.
I do too.
I mean, that is earth shattering. Even though it's such a simple notion, it goes against everything that, like, capitalism teaches us. Mm-hmm. And so I do think it's earth shattering because we are not taught that.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is, it's, yeah.
And to your point on simplicity, I'll do the second one. The point on simplicity is the baby steps, although maybe people have some difficulty with how they go or when you should invest or when you should not, they work. Because if you follow through all of them and you keep going and you keep it simple, it works. We became millionaires in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mostly followed all of them.
Yeah. We did. We just graduated out of them at some point.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, we did. We started with that, and then it was so motivating, and we continued to listen to his podcast, and it was the vitamin every day that it took to give us that motivation to keep going and keep getting out of debt. Once we were sort of out of debt and we were like starting to like have some extra money to invest, that's when we were started being like, well, you know, his 25, 25, 25, 25. I mean, that is a one size fits all.
Yeah, that is
kind of a,
no matter what your age is.
Yeah. And I think maybe we can fine tune that a bit more. So at that point, I think we started graduating out of the Dave Ramsey solutions and started going into something a little bit more advanced. But man, we could not have gotten there.
Absolutely.
Without his advice and without his philosophies.
And I would also for the last one, I would add he and his group do a very good job at helping you with the non-sexy stuff, the insurance stuff, the little things that will trip you up. And I think he calls it defense. You know, you could do a lot of offense with making a lot of money and paying off your debt, but the defense stuff is important. Umbrella insurance, term life insurance. I just had a father on the podcast this week. His wife passed away in her late 20s, and he thanks God so much that he found Dave Ramsey to help him buy a term life insurance policy because he's been able to carry on with his 12-year-old daughter. They were able to pay off their mortgage, pay off their trucks, pay off all their debts, and now he's going to be able to spend more time with his daughter. So kudos on spending time on the things that are maybe not as sexy, but are they important.
Yeah. And I just think the third thing might be he's super entertaining.
Absolutely.
And so is his daughter, and so are the rest of the people that I've seen on those DVDs. Like, I mean, just they make it actually fun to watch.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm not a big money nerd.
Yeah.
But those videos, I can sit through those.
They're
and
good.
I sat through them multiple times when you were teaching the class at Kensington. And I think it's such an entertaining way. He is helping millions of people.
Absolutely.
So I think that's beautiful. I'm excited for his daughter to take over because I think maybe she'll bring some fresh, I don't know if she really is taking over. I just have it in my head that she probably is.
Eventually.
Yeah,
time.
Right. But I think that she might just bring a little bit of a fresh, like more modern perspective to things because Dave is like your grandpa, you know, and you're like, man, I love you, grandpa, but like, yeah, you're never going to change your old ways. Like
right.
Times are changing and you can't say some of the stuff that you say and like, it's not funny anymore, you know? So I'm interested to see kind of how their brand might evolve.
I agree.
When some of the younger folks get into charge. So anyway.
Why don't we do some takeaways? This was a good conversation.
Okay.
So I mean, maybe that's I'll steal your first takeaway there is that if you read something or you listen to something and it really resonates with you at a point in your life, it's okay if you can evolve and take from that the things that work well. And then it's okay if all the little pieces and parts don't work specifically for your situation. And for that, I think that would be a call to the Ramsey team too, to say, hey, as you guys continue to grow and evolve and your team expands, what can you do to expand and change with the times as well?
Yeah. And kind of fits within that, all of that, what you just said is as a consumer.
Yeah.
You can love the Dave Ramsey Baby Steps program, but not take every single piece of advice in it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we still follow a lot of the philosophies, but we don't do his investing strategy.
Right.
And that's okay. We can take chapters 1 through 8 and not follow chapter 9. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be 100% everything and not evolve, not find anybody else's information or advice valid except for that one book. I mean, yeah, you can take 30% from here and 20% from there and stitch it together to make your own tapestry, you know?
Absolutely.
I would say a huge key takeaway for me is, you know, if you're somebody who's new to investing or new to trying to figure out your personal finance, like you don't even know what your net worth is, or you are in debt, or you're just interested in money and kind of getting into it, definitely read his book, get his DVDs, or go through the program. It's simple yet earth-shattering. I mean, it is. We are not taught personal finance in school. And what we learn through the media and through just, I guess, our society and our culture is borrow, 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 spend, spend, spend. And that works well for our economy and growing our economy, but it does not work well for each individual. I mean, it really doesn't. It puts us into debt. It makes us a slave to lenders, and it makes us have to work until we're 65 and beyond, maybe. Yeah. And so I would say educate yourself on his program, because it is simple yet goes against capitalism and against the societal norms. So you're not going to learn that somewhere else.
I agree.
I mean, he's the entrepreneur that started that philosophy. Well, I don't know if he started it, but he did it really darn well.
He did it really well. Absolutely.
So yeah, if you haven't read his book or Baby Steps,
yep,
or looked into his program, what is the program
Financial
called?
Peace
Financial
University.
Peace University. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Definitely look into that. That would Absolutely. Be a huge key takeaway. But like we said, it's okay to not follow it 100%, and to maybe once you get out of debt, you can evolve and look at other advice as well and put something together that works for you.
Yeah, I think that's a skill I'm still learning, that you can consume something and then not have to do all of it.
Yeah.
I'll get there someday.
I think you end up doing the right thing. You end up trying it and taking a key takeaway from all of these self-help books or, you know, informational books that you read. But in the beginning, you put pressure on yourself to absorb 100% of
yes.
it. It's just not humanly possible.
It isn't. I try to do it all.
You try and then you get frustrated and then you take a step back and then you're like, all right, maybe I can absorb 20%. And I think that's beautiful. Like that's a good amount. It's just that you set your expectations up here. So like, you end up feeling like a failure, but you're not. A failure would be to read a bunch of self-help books and then just like forget what's in them and not do anything. But if you can get one key takeaway from each, I think you're doing well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And on that note, hopefully you guys got some key takeaways out of this episode. And we appreciate
we
everybody
went
joining.
Way over.
We probably did.
I know we did.
Oh no, we're good. This isn't right around the time, but we all it's 26 minutes. That's pretty good. Thank you everybody for joining. And Carlos, man, you are awesome. You've been joining
hey,
for the
Carlos.
Past couple of weeks. We love this. He says, are you guys planning to go to Dave's building and do a debt-free scream?
We already passed that time in our lives.
We did. So, okay, here's another one, Carlos. I looked it up online during the time when we paid off our house, and they had in the form that if we have credit cards, that was a no-no. And we did.
And we don't want to go and lie.
That's another thing. I don't know. Anyway, but I have been to the building a couple times. They've invited me to collaborate and help us grow. They've poured into us as creators and in return.
I don't know if you'll get invited back after this one.
Oh, I hope Ooh. So. I hope so. But not if not, it's okay.
it's honest feedback. Yeah. And there are so many wonderful things about.
Right. And Carlos agrees his book was life-changing for him. And it, honestly, it was life-changing for us too.
So we couldn't do the scream, but we did make a really cute video with our kids. We put... like used our papers as kindling and roasted marshmallows on top of it. Did a couple of other fun things.
Made a mortgage pinata. That was her
mortgage pinata. Yeah.
So we had a lot of fun with it. And And Rudy, thank you very much for joining as well. And if you guys have any comments or questions or anything for us, please, you can do that here in the stream on YouTube, or you can leave us a voicemail at marriagekidsmoney.com/voicemail or any social media platform at Andy Hill MKM. We really love all the notes, and we really love you guys all joining and keeping the conversation going. Thank you so much, Nicole. This is awesome, as always.
All right. Let's get our Friday night started.
That's right. Get our Friday night. We're going out. I love you guys. Good night.
Thanks, everyone.